Oh my god, Nathan, welcome back.
Oh my god, I'm back. It's been forever, but not for you guys.
Yeah, it's been like, I don't know, a year?
It feels like it.
It's been like 3 weeks since we actually recorded.
Yeah.
Big gap was in my life. Gaping hole you left, Nathan.
That's what I tend to do.
Yeah. And I was just left here to edit for weeks. While you were away, you know, getting hitched.
You didn't get to...
Or getting engaged.
I did get engaged.
Congratulations.
And I'd do it again. Except I would leave you to go...
Different woman?
Let me reel that back, okay?
We'll see. Fingers crossed.
Let me flip it and reverse it as... what's her face? Gwen Stefani says. It was worth it to leave you and not talk about comics for 3 weeks so that I can get engaged. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I went to Malaysia, not to brag. I tried to find some comics there, anywhere, really, so I can give you one because you were very nice and got me a French comic.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out that they have just a lot of Western comics over there.
Yeah.
Did I show you the little shop that I found?
Yeah.
Yeah. It had like weird stuff, but I asked if they had like Malaysian comics or like Asian comics. We were in Malaysia at the time. And she was like, nope, but I have Spider-Man. You like Spider-Man? And I'm like, this is a saleswoman. But I feel like she didn't really know what she was like selling. You know,
I wonder think someone if she just had gives like,
it to her and she's like, you want to buy that? It's this much and you could take it. Like, I don't think she knows who like some of the weird. Let me pull up the picture. Actually, I'll send it to you so you can put it up. But it was like.
I wonder if she had any gems stuff in there that she didn't even know about.
Dude, I looked. I tried looking. The biggest gem I saw was Tyrese Gibson's comic that he made, which I was like, this is weird. It would be kind of funny if I came back from Malaysia and I just got this. But
yeah, you had to scour the earth to find the Tyrese Gibson comic book.
I went halfway across the world.
Is it about his character in Morbius?
I don't think so. And I also forgot that he was in that. So that's funny. But they had like the, not Black Label. What's the Marvel one though?
Oh.
Here it is.
Max,
thank you. But yeah, they had like Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle from Marvel. They had like Jonah Hex stuff, some New Mutants, you know,
mm-hmm.
Bishop.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so they had, and like some like old like cowboy comics and stuff. So I don't know. It was very strange.
Ooh, Western comics.
But they had like a lot of their comics like bagged in like big old like plastic bags, like single issues, but like bagged. So it was kind of weird.
Huh.
So I didn't get to see a whole lot, but.
Cool.
So I tried.
Yeah.
Well. And I tried looking for manga that was English and then it wasn't. So.
Ah.
But I got you a bookmark.
Cool bookmark.
Yeah. I was going to give that to you on the podcast, but Sophie made me give it to you in person so she could see too, which is fair.
It's around here somewhere.
Has your name on it written in Mandarin?
You know what? I think I put it in a book.
Is it in Scott Pilgrim?
Here we go. It's a custom bookmark. Got my name on it. That was hand. Scripted or whatever.
Hand lettered.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Very cool. And then very excited. Thank you. I appreciate
good,
that.
Good to be back.
I'm glad you're back as well.
Yeah. Been itching to talk about comics.
Yeah. And since then, a lot of news has happened, Nathan.
I don't know any of it. I was just looking to see if I even had news and I don't.
Well, that's our first time code that you can find in our description. The next one will be the book, which is Chroma. And there's also Back Matter Matters and the poll list. But let's get into that spicy news.
Let's do it.
And you remember that book, Avengers Inc. by Al Ewing that I told you yesterday I read?
Yeah,
the first issue?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been canceled.
All right.
Yeah.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So, still coming out. I don't know when the last issue is, but I just heard that, and I heard the guys over on the First Issue Club podcast, they're very upset about it. I guess they really like that book.
That is upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. Mm-hmm. The one piece of news I did get before I left on a very long flight was that the TMNT turtles are going to be skins in Fortnite. So that's pretty cool,
dude. The design on those are like perfect.
They're so good, dude.
They look so fucking sick.
It makes you want to spend money on Fortnite.
Yeah, I'm like, why is it gotta be in this game that it looks so good,
dude? You know? I know, they fucking nailed it, so I'm really pissed.
They had like some video game award thing. You know what that is?
Yeah, the video game awards
is what's called.
Yeah, it was like streaming on like a platform. Normally it's just like live streamed on Twitch or something, but it was like on Peacock or some shit.
You think it'd be on like YouTube or something.
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet was there.
Great.
He used to have a YouTube channel where he reviewed like Xbox controllers or something. I don't know if you knew that.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
They announced a couple games on there that I thought were exciting. Mm-hmm. We got a Blade video game coming.
That'll be cool.
Made by Arkane Studios.
Yep, I did see that.
Do you know what Arkane has done?
Arkane did some stuff.
All right.
No, hold on. They might have actually... No, they did Dishonored, which is a really solid game. Wolfenstein... Deathloop, right, which I played recently, Prey, and Redfall was their most recent one. So, yeah, pretty good stuff. They're a good developer, especially with Dishonored.
Yeah, other exciting games, Jurassic Park Survival. That looks pretty neat.
Okay.
And, dude, they're bringing back Crazy Taxi.
The Simpsons one?
No.
Just the old school one?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Remember that was at like an arcade bar and we like lost our shit?
Yeah, dude. That game's hard.
We're like, what? Because like, we played that a lot for some reason.
We did. It's fun.
On the old Dreamcast or whatever it was.
A sick driving game.
Or maybe it was PS2. I can't remember.
I think we might have played it on PS2 or something.
Yeah, no. That was great. Yeah. And just the fact that it's coming back. I'm like,
it's a hard game.
They're just dipping into my childhood.
They should have done like Crazy Uber or something.
That's how you order the taxi now.
Yeah, that's what it feels like being in an Uber sometimes. Especially
allow you to like reject like rides you don't want to do. Yeah,
dude, especially in Asia, they have Grab over there. They don't have Uber. Mm. But driving...
It's very scary sounding.
It is a little bit. Actually, I never thought about that.
I need someone to grab me.
Dude, driving like Vietnam is absurd.
I imagine. So driving in any country like, that's not here. I mean, driving kind of sucks here too, but it's very scary in other countries.
Yeah, it is. So it'll just feel like that.
No disrespect to Europe, or Asia.
No, they're like way more confident in like other people than we are, I think. I think that's just what it is.
We don't trust anyone, yeah.
Yeah, I was much respect.
I need wide lanes.
Yeah, and I need less than 6 motorcycles in one lane at a time, side by side.
Yeah.
So
in other news, then remember the show Watchmen?
Mm-hmm.
It was removed from Max.
What?
Yeah.
I was just thinking about that show 4 months ago. And I was like, I should watch that again.
Yeah.
Well, wait, where can I watch it?
Fucking...
Nowhere?
Nowhere. You can buy the DVD box set if you want.
Fuck, that would be kind of worth it, though.
I don't know if it's, like, removed currently, but I think it's, like, about to be or something.
Dude.
But yeah. Which is nuts, because that was, like, one of the best shows.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It was one of those shows that like got normies like into it as well. And it was so fun talking about Watchmen with people that have no idea what Watchmen is.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. You should try and buy digital media anytime you can, but.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we knew about this already, but Mark Russell and Mike Allred are doing a follow-up to Superman Space Age.
Really?
It's called Batman Dark Age.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow, that's the best news.
Yeah. news of the week.
That's news of the last 3 weeks.
Mark Russell like posted like some pages and it looks awesome.
Is it in like the same universe or whatever?
I assume so, yeah.
Okay.
So it's not really like a sequel. It's just kind of like a...
Within the same shit. That's awesome.
And I know we were big fans of Space Age and we just wanted more and we're getting more, Nathan.
We're getting more and we're getting more random Batman suits because that was part of the fun of that.
Yeah, there's like an evolution. We still got a good amount of Batman content in that Superman book.
It was awesome. So. That's such a good book.
Yeah.
Sleeper hit.
And you know DWJ, Daniel Warren Johnson?
I sure do.
He had a web comic back in the day called Space Mullet.
That sounds awesome.
And where he wrote and drew, I think.
Okay.
But it'll be coming to print. July 2024.
Let's go, dude.
Yeah, I think it's coming out of Dark Horse. I don't know.
Cool.
Something.
Probably Dark Horse. They like to reprint stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Space Mullet. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm like, great name. And the perfect man to do it.
He's the only person I think that could pull off a title with that.
Yeah, he's the only one who had the balls to name a comic that.
No one else could.
But you didn't have any news?
I have one more. Daniel, guess what? The end of X-Men's Krakoa era begins in Fall of the House of X, #1.
Fall of the House of X.
It's like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, but the X-Men version.
Yeah, or Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Journey to the Center of Krakoa. You got it. And Jerry Duggan's writing it, and they're finishing this era of X-Men, I guess, that Hickman made into a mess.
So Jerry Duggan's gonna finish it?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm not my first guy. I didn't know it needed finishing. I thought it was kind of done.
I think people are scared of X-Men right now, and so they want to just reset.
Isn't like comicbook.com had like awards or something?
Okay.
And best comic was like Immortal X-Men.
Immortal X?
Yeah, have you heard of that?
No.
Yeah, so it's the book that's coming out. It's the best book.
Best book ever?
According to them.
We should read it of the year.
Would
you read it? Relax. I want to read more X-Men.
We just read X-Men.
I know. I want to read more. We haven't read it. You already, 200 episodes into this bitch, we've read two X-Men books.
Three. You already cashed that ticket.
X-Force doesn't count.
Hmm?
As an X-Men book.
Oh, my God. Anyway. And Old Man Logan.
There's an Old Man Logan coming out right now?
No. We read Old Man Logan.
Oh, that's barely...
Counts.
All right. I'll let it slide. It doesn't feel like we're really giving it a chance, though. The only one I feel like where I'm like, okay, that's good that we read this, was New X-Men. And that's like, even I have this idea of X-Men in my head
that you're just that I've never this found show it. Is not like
I've coming never, to fruition. I've never found it. I did like the Krakoan X-Force. I think that's actually genuinely like pretty solid X-Men stuff. But anyway,
I feel like when like X-Men 92 comes out or whatever, we should read like Claremont's run with like Jim Lee.
That would be kind of sick,
you know, kind of throw it back.
I do have one of those issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get in the book that we read today from this year, or yeah,
this
last year.
Are you sure?
When this comes out, it'll be 2024. So
last year when this came out,
no books have come out in 2024 yet.
What did we read, Daniel?
We read Chroma by Lorenzo De Felici.
This was my Christmas present to you. Correct.
Correct.
What'd you think?
Ross Wooten is a letterer. Big fan.
He sure is. Love that guy. Did he color himself? He did. Yeah, Lorenzo De Felici.
Creator, writer, artist.
Yep.
This is fun. I like the idea. The concept is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it necessarily explored the world to my satisfaction, you know, because I felt like it was very self-contained and like the exploration was like very minimal.
Yeah, I would agree.
I guess I kind of want to see more in a way, but I think that could have been accomplished by exploring that
in this
within this book, you know? Mm-hmm. But I do like a self-contained book, which I think he accomplished here.
You like the creature designs?
Designs are cool.
I like the characters people designs.
I got attached to and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Gorgeous coloring.
Yeah, a lot. Good grays.
good grays. But it is funny because he does...
You're talking about when there's colors.
When there's color, it's great. Yeah. When there's not color, it's like, man, I want to see color. And then you see color and it's like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Give me more of this. Yeah. I thought it was good. I didn't end up like finishing this when it was coming out.
No, I was like, what do you mean?
That was part of I stopped reading halfway through. You're gonna explain it.
You're gonna explain issue 4.
No, I think I've got like 2 or 3 issues in, and then I think I might have missed like issue 4 or something. So that's part of the reason why I got this, because I wanted to finish it.
Okay.
But I want to put my own time into it.
Yeah.
But in a way, I did. Anyway, okay. Yeah, I think this is good because it's also kind of like a cool comic that you could give to someone that's like new in reading comics. Because sure. It's like pretty simple story. They'd get like the visual sort of metaphors there pretty easily because it's a pretty simple idea, you know? So I
don't know if I was trying to get someone into comics, I'd recommend this. But if someone pointed to it, be like, I'm interested in this, I'd be like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I think so. Like if this is on the shelf and they're like, what's this about? And then you tell them, they're like, that sounds good. Then like,
yeah, I couldn't even tell you. Do you like the cover? There's going to be more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So kick-ass art, you know, that totally. Was definitely the highlight of it, and very competent story. But it's just like the artwork definitely
carries.
Carries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Issue 1, chapter 1, whatever they call it.
Chapter 1. We're introduced to this like black and white civilization called the Pale City. And there's a group of friends within that town training to become what's called Maka. And I don't really know what that means, really. I think they're like people that venture outside of the city to get resources. But
the city kind of looks like Mos Eisley.
Dude, it kind of does.
Yeah.
It's got to have like some of that inspiration, huh?
Oh, definitely.
So they go to this like public event where the king... Or the Makavi releases a demon into their town that they hunt down every year as a tradition to remind them that colors are what the demons outside the walls of the city are like attracted to. And but then that's why everything's like black and white.
It's got to like hatch from an egg.
Yeah. And so they like just unleash this demon every year and then they catch it. And then they're like, that was cool, wasn't it? And then that's the event. So lots of questions already. How did they get their eyes black and white? No idea. How do they get their food black and white? they do explain a little bit later, but it's still confusing.
Yeah.
But there's a really cool beginning scene with like a colorful bird being like wounded by a predator and it falls into like the Pale City. And it's like the blood really pops when the rest of the page is black and white.
Yeah.
So one of the boys, Zet, sees the town capture the demon, but notices it looks like a person with big blue colorful eyes, which reminds him of his mother. And then later that night, he goes to where the demon is held captive and convinces the guard with a pomegranate to let him in to see the demon. And when he goes into this dark room, he finds a girl with two different colored eyes. And then Zet freaks out and runs off because he doesn't get any bitches, I guess. Are there girls in this town? Because I don't think I saw one. And he seemed very shocked that it was like a girl, you know?
A girl? Maybe they're all like...
I think there are.
Maybe they're just moms.
Yeah, it seems like it. Because at first I was like, is he shocked that there's a girl here? And if that's the case, how are there new generations of men?
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are. And it's interesting because she seems to be like gaslit into thinking that she deserves to be treated this way, which is pretty sad because she's like, I just hurt people. Like, you don't want to be in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that the king dude has like this horn design, but it's actually just like his hair with what I can only imagine is just an unbelievable amount of gel.
Yeah.
Cause
it's clay or something.
They look like horns.
Yeah.
So he's got some long ass hair.
There's like a little history bit where they're going to like a class or something for their school or whatever they call it to train to be whatever they want.
Yeah.
And really cool, like hieroglyphic looking artwork.
Yeah.
Of showing like the monsters and stuff and like the city from their point of view.
Yeah, they said that like the king of colors tried to punish man for creating a new color. So he sent like creatures after them until they figured out that the creatures can't see black or white spectrum stuff. So they make the Pale City and the demons are blind to it. And then Zet later goes to see the girl again and is like a little bit more comfortable with her. And then the next day, Zet and the Maka, so like the group of them, go outside the walls to gather food and white clay. And one of the guards kills a greedy farmer to like make an example. And then they're attacked by like the big demon lizards that they've been scared of.
And just like gigantic crocodiles.
Ginormous crocodile looking things.
Mm-hmm.
And they definitely call them lizards. And I'm like, I don't know. It's a pretty big lizard.
They have three eyes.
Yep.
Because this is sci-fi, Nathan.
Yeah. You got to give them an extra eye or like extra arms or something for it to be sci-fi.
I mean, they're big already. So I think that's good enough.
But... yeah. They got big old white necks. I also think it's funny when they like try to keep quiet. And then, like, a cow blows their cover when it, like, moves. And it's like, shit, run. And so they barely make it back to the city. Zet gets, like, a stern talking to about his changing opinion on, like, colors. And that night, he drugs the guard protecting the girl. And Zet shows her the outside night view. And the girl says that her name is Chroma. And Zet says that his name is Zet. But then he gets speared through the back. And that's how that first issue ends. I was not expecting a child death this early on. And so I was like, oh.
Especially like what we perceived as like the main character.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely seemed like it was shaping up for him to be the main character. And it's like, oh, there he goes. So it's kind of cool to see that switch. Even though Chroma is like on the like the main cover, it almost seems like it would have taken the perspective of Zet.
You know, when you gave me this book, I was like, oh, I think I've seen this around. And like, as I was reading it, I'm like, oh, Nathan told me about this, you know, like I like forgot the description that you gave me like a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
The nighttime coloring is awesome in this.
Yeah,
like
it really is.
Because I feel like that it's probably pretty hard, but just like, yeah, it's just done really well.
Yeah. He still manages to like make things like pretty colorful on the outside when they go to like look at it.
Yeah.
Or when they're in like a dark room. You know, he still manages like make Chroma's eyes like the blue and green, but not like obviously like too much because they're in a dark room. So he's really good with the night stuff.
Yeah.
And so chapter two, the Makavi are like, look what you did, Chroma. You killed him. And then Chroma's like, I don't think I did. And so she manages to take like a rope attached to the big tower that they're on and swing out of the city to escape. And Chroma then sees a vision of Zet, who tells her that there's like a bunch of guards hunting them now, so they have to leave. And then some of the guards get attacked and killed by lizards. So it's a little bit weird seeing Zet die, and then immediately Chroma has a vision of Zet. And it's like, you barely know this dude.
Yeah, it seems weird that that's like, you know, her companion throughout this. mm-hmm. when it's someone she's only talked to like three times or whatever.
Yeah, three times for what seems like 10, 15 minutes.
But I think it's a good like plot device to kind of keep the thing, to keep it going and just kind of like a voice of reason,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, because she definitely sees him as like the little angel on the shoulder, it seems like.
You think they would like color him differently or something? Maybe color him like with a normal skin color, you know, not just like gray or whatever, to kind of show like almost like a liberation from this like colorless town. Freedom. Kind of like that, yeah.
Ooh, that would have been kind of cool.
But then you know it's different, and we know he's dead because he got like impaled and then fell off a high tower or whatever.
I think they should just keep the spear in him. there's a couple parts where you see the spear again inside of him.
Yeah.
Because Chroma's reminding her own projection of Zet.
Then we would think that he's like alive somehow that spear through.
That's true. You're like, damn, this guy's really surviving this whole thing.
Like, wow, he's just not even phased.
Or maybe just like
take it out.
Maybe just keep like blood on like his chest or something. Maybe we don't need the spear.
Yeah.
But then I guess, yeah, we would think that he was
kind of like the babysitter in like Saga. You know how she was like ripped in half or something? And then like she's just like a ghost with like her guts coming out of the bottom.
Mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Yeah. More of that, please.
So we get some more color like injected in the book. And I love getting like a better sense of scale with like these lizards. Because we see like this sweet page where they're walking to find Chroma and there's like little lizards.
It's terrifying.
How do they not see them, first of all?
How do they get in there?
How do they get in there? How do they not make that much noise getting there?
I think they knock down like every tree like when they have to jump out.
Yeah, surely they do. And it's cool seeing some of the action there, too. But Chroma gets found and chased by the remaining two guards that are still living until there's like a cliffside dead end thing. But right as she's about to be killed, there's a big bird that saves her. But actually, it's a guy in a bird costume who seems to know Chroma. So that's lucky. And then Dead Zet convinces Chroma to like follow him to wherever he's trying to go. So I like the big bird design. Although I can't imagine it's very easy to fight off two guys in a big bird costume.
Yeah, very, very Boy and the Heron, you know?
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of dudes inside birds this week.
You think Hayao Miyazaki stole from Chroma?
Dude.
That'd be something.
That would be something. He's like, that's a good idea. I should make a weird big-nosed character.
Yeah, and go back in time to start working on this movie.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And so this old guy's name is Soristo. Who used to be a teacher in the Pale City, but he was exiled. And while they're walking, they run into more lizards who see the blood on Chroma's arm and they start to attack them. But Soristo shoots them with like a blue smoke bomb thing and they stop or they run away and they're able to escape to Soristo's hideout. And then he is able to explain that those lizards operate off of color. And so when there's like an overwhelming amount of them, like when he throws a smoke bomb, it like is able to control them. So blue is like stop, red is attack, and there's a bunch of different ones.
Blue is boy, Nathan.
Blue is boy, Daniel.
They basically do like gender reveals to stop these things.
Dude, that's right. They should do the firework one and set fire to the whole forest.
Yeah, that'll stop them.
So what gender is yellow, Daniel, or green, or white?
Green means
gremlin.
Yeah, there you go.
Alien. I think that's kind of cool. It's kind of funny that these animals work just based off the most prominent color they see.
It's kind of like, I don't know, one of their senses, I guess.
Yeah.
Like that's how they see certain things. And then I guess each one like controls their emotions.
Yeah.
Which I think that's probably one of the better plot points of this. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, okay, cool. So they can like live amongst these, and then this crazy guy just like figured that out somehow.
Mm-hmm. And then he like managed to find a bunch of different colored flowers and like make those into dye, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I like that these lizards are like a pack, so if they see one like change their color, then they all kind of change that color.
Yeah, that's
kind of
nice. Makes
it easier to control like a crowd of them. It's very interesting. Like I like learning about alien animals. I think that's why I like Scavenger's Reign so much, which I still have to finish, but
yeah,
it's pretty much all that.
Nice stuff to start, but
it's very good.
Yeah, I know.
Made a lot of top tens of people's shows this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? Kind of going back to the first issue, I don't know why like the leader dude just didn't like kill her. like it seemed like she really didn't like her. He really didn't like her, you know?
There's a reason.
I can't remember. I guess I read this pretty soon, but I even wrote my notes. I'm like, Zet's alive, you know?
I did think that he was alive and was just popping in and out until like until I saw her think of him with a spear in him, and I'm like, oh, that's right, he died. he got a spear in him.
But anyway, and then this old man brings her to like his nest and then wants to like take her eyes out.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. Oh, there's actually still one guard like on the hunt. His name's like Damog or something.
It's like the guy that was like taking them out before on like the little adventures or whatever.
But I do like this page because he was pushed into like off the cliff into like a bunch of thorns, and we just see him like walk out and there's like a bunch of bloody thorns behind him.
He looks like
it's pretty thug.
Gore.
He does kind of look like Gore, but with like a scythe.
Yeah. A much grumpier Gore for some reason, mm-hmm. if that's possible.
Yep. And so that's pretty much that issue. Chapter
I feel like this three. Is a very Studio Ghibli like cover.
I know. Isn't it so cool though? So Saristo explains before he kills her. He's like, I'm going to explain everything to you just so you know, so I can kill you. So that's, there's that. But Saristo explains that there was, or that he was there when Chroma was a baby, and he sort of began questioning where she came from and questioned enough to get exiled by the Makavi, who's the king dude. So he now wants to kill Chroma to be allowed back into the city and share his findings of the outside and how to control the animals and shit. And I guess his plan is to scoop her eyes out as proof that he killed her. But Chroma, after hallucinating a battle with like Zet and the Makavi person, There's like a in her mind imaginary battle.
The
and
king
like
guy.
Zet's like the angel, and the king guy's like the devil that she's like constantly thinking about.
He kind of looks like, I don't know, like a vampire in this, like a man bat almost kind of thing.
I think he kind of looks like, yeah, a man bat. I was gonna say something, and then I'm like, no, it's definitely wrong. But for whatever reason, like in my head, he's kind of like Zurg from Toy Story, in like one of these panels. And I think it was this one that made me think that initially, but
sure,
but not really at all. But yeah, so she like has this vision of a battle in her head, and then she builds the strength to fight back and kills Saristo. And then also in the Pale City, they have like a fake funeral for Zet, but they lie about how he dies. Yeah. I guess it's a real funeral, but they lie about how he dies.
Yeah. And like before she kills like the old man, like the Zet consciousness was like, you don't have to kill him kind of thing. And mm-hmm. so like, I like how like this representation of Zet is like making her like kind of double check like her actions. You know?
It is cool because that's how she saw him for sure.
Yeah.
And there's this like really tragic page with like blood on her face and like the shock because she's tried all this time fighting this idea that her existence brings harm onto people. And then she's forced to like stab someone in self-defense. So she kind of has to face that she inevitably kind of does bring harm onto people. And I think it's a pretty cool moment.
Yeah.
And so then Chroma takes some of Saristo's things and tries to figure out like what to do next. But really, she just wants to go back to the Pale City. And she's like, maybe I could just say sorry. And she's attacked by the last Pale City guard who's like set on killing her. But that dude is then killed by a lizard. So she then decides to go find the King of Colors, this guy that, you know, everybody's been very scared of or whatever. She's like, let me go talk to that guy to figure something out. And so there's like this montage of her journey getting to the Crystal Mountain thing that he's supposed to be at.
Isn't that supposed to be like her dad or something?
It's supposed to be her dad. I think she finds out at some point that she's like the daughter of the King of Colors. And so she's like, well, maybe he'll talk to me. I don't know. But I love a good montage, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. These are great montage.
Yeah. I like
two double page spreads of like of
montage.
Her just just traveling.
Yeah. I like the feather sort of scarf thing she has on. It's pretty cool.
This mountain looks sick.
Dude, the mountain's like made of crystals, which I don't know how that happens, but it looks so cool.
And what was the deal with like the King of Colors that they talked about in the city? They said that he was like a traitor or something.
He was like the king of like everything, and then someone tried to like make a new color. I don't know how they do that or how they approach that, but then the King of Colors got angry and sent demons after them, which are the lizards.
Oh, right, right, right.
And then they discovered that we can just hide if we make a city white, like mm-hmm. Greece. Maybe that's why they're doing it.
Ah.
We never ventured outside of those walls, Daniel. So yeah. We don't know.
True.
So,
but uh-oh, there's some lizards in the castle. They're yeah. in the mountain.
I wish there were I wish there was a little bit more variety in the monsters.
There's baby monsters.
There are, but I wish like the lizards become important.
It'd be cool if there's like a snake in there, like just other reptiles.
Yeah, you know? other kind of monsters or like a weird goopy one maybe. Because like this is some weird planet, right? So
yeah,
I would have liked to see more lizards, but it makes sense in this scene because she's attacked by more lizards, except this time Chroma gets like a gash on her forehead. And so now the lizards like recognize the colors on her head, being like her different colored eyes and the red on her forehead. They like mimic their colors on their head. And so now they like listen to her.
Yeah.
Which I think was a really kind of cool moment because it's not really like explicitly said, but you see with like the gash on her face that they mimic each other. And so I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, such a big moment. Because there's these like two splash pages. And that's a big fucking lizard.
Yeah, pretty scary.
And then you see her.
Great scale there.
Yeah. And so they're buddies now,
mm-hmm.
which is cool. So then we go on to the last chapter, chapter 4. These are long chapters, by the way, which I appreciate.
We're definitely brushing through it, but like it's not like a very dense book. And I don't think it's like confusing, mm-mm. like in a good way.
Yeah. It's
and so.
And he gives himself some room to like breathe and sort of make, build this world, which I think is pretty
cool. It's definitely like an artist book.
For sure.
You know, I think Lorenzo is going to be like kind of an artist over everything. And I think he definitely earns, you know, being like Void Rivals.
Totally.
Because this is kick ass.
Yeah.
Art wise.
I also feel like his style was a little bit different in Oblivion Song.
Was that him too?
That was him.
Oh, super different. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's gotten better. Because I don't know. That might have been like just what he was asked to do because I think it was more of a comic book, like concept. Cartoony kind of style. And I feel like the people here are a little bit more realistic looking as far as like proportions in the face.
And like the coloring.
But not to say that like Zett looks just like someone that would be in Oblivion Song.
That is true. But something about like Chroma's design and like how soft some of the coloring that he does there is definitely like improved from.
I don't know if he did colors on that book.
He might not have. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
That would have been like a lot of work, I think.
Yeah, this is a lot of work too.
I thought I recognized the name, but mm-hmm. yeah, he's killing it. I guess Void Rivals was like the number one selling book at Ash this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Probably because of the news that the Transformers in the end.
Or Lorenzo De Felice is really good.
He is really good, and I like him, and I want to catch up on that book. But so, yeah, chapter 4. So we fast forward about a year.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, shit.
Chroma has learned how to live with and control the lizards, but she also, like, has, like, a symbiotic relationship with them. She, like, helps them hunt food and shit. And she even names one of the lizards Zett. After her dead imaginary friend. But imaginary Zett is still there and tries convincing her to go back to all the people of the Pale City and tell them about what Chroma's learned. But Chroma just gets angry sort of at that thought, which is understandable because fuck them. Because they've had her like in like a solitary confinement pretty much her whole life.
Mm.
And so the guard that's been chasing Chroma, turns out he's alive. And he shows up again, but he ends up killing the lizard named Zett. And then he goes to kill Chroma, who has this like increased rage inside of her. And she ends up just like decapitating him, which is pretty wild. Meanwhile, in the town, they're doing that demon ritual again because it's been a whole year since that's happened. But Chroma interrupts it with a stampede of lizards to go fight them. And the lizards like break the walls of the Pale City and like all hell breaks loose. And I like this visual sort of these like visual contexts, like panels that are like metaphors of like the red roots growing in her mind or whatever. And then it sprouts in like a little red flower. I don't really like know what it means fully other than like she mentioned that there's like this rage kind of growing inside of her. But I don't know what like the flower means, you know,
it's released,
I guess. Yeah. Or maybe she's
it's turning into something beautiful. you know.
I like that. But it's kind of cool. It's an interesting design choice. Or when it
like
breaks
through the barrier of like the surface of like the dirt, it's almost like liberating the people of like the Pale City.
And she decides
of like the beautiful world outside of it, you know?
Yeah. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I didn't think that. It's just because you asked. I'm like,
I like seeing her on a big lizard because like, especially this panel.
It thing's fucking huge.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Like, how is she staying on that?
I didn't even see her until you zoomed in.
Yeah. It's like, there's no saddle or anything. She's just hanging on for dear life.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't mentioned it, but I like the smokescreen things, like how he draws it.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Yeah, looks very colorful.
Wonder how you go about doing that.
I don't even know. I think he just kind of leaves it all up to coloring and maybe has some function in Photoshop. Yeah, like, hopefully
this looks good.
Yeah.
When you're just penciling.
And there's some like crazy action pages here. Like he gets, you know, very loose with like the page structures, especially in this like double page spread where like all this shit's like going down. It's all very red.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool. And so there's a bunch of lizards. They're in the Pale City. They're killing people. And then Chroma goes to the Makavi king guy, who reveals that Chroma is the daughter of him, the Makavi dude, who made up the story of her being a demon to protect her and keep her hidden away rather than having the Pale City people kill her for being a demon.
I feel like they made this baby's face a little too wide.
I was thinking the same thing when I saw that. I was like, what happened there?
I'm sure if you zoom out, it looks fine, but like just nah, because it...
Even when you zoom out, it's like, that's a big face.
Yeah.
It looks like a MODOK. And the Makavi like killed Chroma's mom to be like, yeah, you did this or whatever. And like kind of sell that story a little bit more. I don't really know. But yeah, so the Makavi is Chroma's dad. And then he just kills himself in front of her, which I don't know was like super necessary because he just kind of says it and then offs himself.
Yeah.
And Chroma's like, well, that was crazy. And then she like goes and leaves the city, but she gives Zet's friends the diary that she used that. She like wrote down all of her notes of what she's learned, and Chroma goes to like live on her own. But the important thing is that she gave the Pale City people control of like their own destiny once again.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
And this is I guess it was dedicated to Lorenzo's dad.
Hopefully not as bad of a dad as the Makavi, but that's probably pretty cool. Not.
So let's get into Back Matter Matters, Nathan.
Yep. Back Matter Matters, Daniel.
Back Matter Matters. And what do we get, Nathan?
We get nothing.
No
back matter. Back matter.
We've had a bit of a dry spell when it comes to back matter lately. Yeah, I feel like.
Like New World barely had anything, I feel like.
New World had a lot like of covers, but like Aquaman didn't have anything. So yeah.
Last Christmas had a pretty solid one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So no back matter. And so what did you think of the book, Daniel?
It was a good time. I think it was cool. I was very curious about everything, and it definitely piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. Great pacing, you know, so big fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd rate it like a vanilla ice cream with like a lot of M&Ms in it to represent the colors.
I like that. Looks like Chroma.
The vanilla is like the Pale City.
Oh, okay.
And
it's pretty good.
I would say I'd love it.
I like that.
What about you?
I'd give it a sherbet.
Ah.
Very colorful because I like the colorful parts of the book, but mm-hmm. I think I'd also give it a love it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good time. I ate the ice cream and I'm like, that's pretty good.
Yep.
But now I would like another sherbet at some point. You know, something from Lorenzo. Yeah. He's on Void Rivals right now and I'm sure he's having a good old time.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read past issue one of that or any of it?
Nah, I didn't buy it.
You haven't read any of it?
I read the first one.
Oh, okay. I think I have.
And I was just like, whatever about it.
I think I have it all,
hmm.
But I haven't read it.
Is it done?
I have it all up to like what's come out, I think.
Okay.
But yeah, let's go into the poll list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Well, did you go to the shop today or this week?
I didn't. I don't know what I got that came out this week and what came out other week, so I'm just gonna rattle off a bunch of shit that I picked up. Okay,
you did go today?
I did.
Okay,
yesterday.
So you had a couple weeks of shit.
Yeah, so I got Batman Gargoyle of Gotham
2,
number 2, really excited about that. Batman City of Madness number 2, really excited about that. I got 3 Green Lantern books.
Wow.
Alan Scott Green Lantern 3, Green Lantern War Journal 4, Green Lantern 6, I think. So got those. Phantom Road 7, Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong, Predator versus Wolverine. I got a lot of versus books, I guess. And then The Holy Roller, number 2.
Yeah.
So
I think
lots to read.
I think Predator versus Wolverine 4 came out this week.
Yeah.
I got that. I'm also getting Dark Droids number 5.
Nice, nice.
And I think that's the last one for that one.
Yeah. I was looking at my list and I'm like, these are really good. I got good taste.
Oh, yeah.
Good for me. Except I don't know if Phantom Road is still good. I'm like 4 behind on that. But
do you want to talk about the comics you got for Christmas? Did you get many?
Yes. I didn't get much more than what you saw, but I got like a Marvel Noir book, which has been on my Amazon wish list for like 5-6 years maybe. So I finally got it. It's like a compilation of Iron Man Noir, Luke Cage Noir, and
Daredevil.
I think a Daredevil Noir. Yeah,
nice.
So pretty excited to read that.
Cool.
And then I also got Bird King Volume 2 because you are a piece of shit and lied to me.
Wow.
To my face.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you what I got you for Christmas,
but it's fine because I don't have to pay you back now. So
I was like, I've never seen that money. Might as well just get credit for it.
Which is funny. I was actually like so surprised.
I also didn't get you like a birthday gift either. So, you know.
You piece of shit.
No, I went to your birthday.
I was like starting to read it like while we were still opening presents. I was so excited.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So what comics did you get?
I had a lovely Christmas and I never expect to get comics because my mom says like, comics are a lame gift to get somebody, and I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
I guess it's not fun for her or whatever.
Okay,
but she actually got me It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth. I wanted a physical copy of that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So pretty stoked. And
you got Scott Pilgrim, right?
Yeah, I got the Scott Pilgrim. It's not in here. The Scott Pilgrim hardcover,
dude. It's so
set.
It's so clean
in the slip cover. Haven't even opened it yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to read it.
What have you read up to? Like just the first one, you think?
I'm like halfway through the second one.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to steal those from you when you're done.
you can steal the first one and the second one when I'm done.
All right.
But yeah, because I wanted to read it like not digitally. And so like it's like blown up that, you know, because it normally just comes in the manga size.
Oh, cool.
So
it's like a different sized version.
Yeah, it's bigger.
She said she had to like go to some comic shop in Ohio or something.
Had to order it from a shop in Ohio to order it.
That's hilarious.
Because, yeah, for some reason, just like within the week of us like reviewing it, probably, you know, before the show came out.
Yeah.
And then Christmas, like it just kind of sold out everywhere.
That makes sense.
At least that box set specifically.
Yeah. Or maybe they decided not to like reprint it.
Yeah, because they do like a new box set like every other year or something. Like there's one coming out like this year.
Oh.
But it looks like a lot, you know, so it might be like real expensive.
Got it. Well, so is that all of Scott Pilgrim?
It's all of it, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So they have 2 volumes in each.
Of those big
deluxe
ones?
One, yeah. So, and cool. There's 6 total.
Very cool.
Giving us 3 deluxe total. So yeah, mom asked me what I wanted most off my list. And I said that and she hunted it down. So she's a goat for that one. I did not expect to get it.
Yeah.
And I just like had this gift. I'm like, why is this so fucking heavy? Did I get bricks for Christmas or coal? But yeah.
Yeah.
And then
she now understands the hunt.
Yeah.
That we're on constantly.
Yeah. And then my Secret Santa was Lynn, which was super sick.
Pretty ideal.
One of the best. He said he said me and you have like the best lists. So
yeah, just because he knows.
Yeah, he got me the Marvel Zombies omnibus.
That was awesome,
which is dope. And then he got me physical copy of Secret Wars, which is one of the first
Hickman one.
Yeah, the Hickman one. So that was one of the first like events that I've read, and I do enjoy it quite a bit. And I just wanted a physical copy of that. And so
yeah,
he got me both of those.
Very cool.
And then you got me a copy of One Star Squadron.
I read just a
year ago. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I was kidding.
But then there's a twist.
But it's got a little sketch of Red Tornado that Steve Lieber did.
And he signed it?
And he signed
How
it.
How sick is that?
which is super sick. I was a big fan of this book.
Yeah, he has an Etsy shop, I guess. And I just happened to be on Twitter when he posted that he was doing like 30 of those or whatever. And I looked at the timestamp and it was like 2 minutes ago.
Nice.
And I was like, shit, I should probably snag one of these. That'll be a good gift.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like...
I wouldn't have even have thought to give it to you if I saw that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I think they'll... Because I couldn't remember if I had the physical copy or if you had the physical copy.
No,
and
I got
like,
you.
And if I have it, then I'll just give this one to Daniel. So...
If you like got me like a physical copy
and you signed one,
you just like regifted the one I got you last year.
That'd be hilarious.
I still would have been excited about it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this looks like it's been read a couple times.
Yeah. It's a good book. It's a good book though. Yeah, I recommend.
Definitely. So yeah, great Christmas. Did you, let's talk about what you read in,
Dana, I read a lot.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
But not a lot of titles. Okay. Because I mainly caught up on World's Finest, which...
Are you caught up on it?
I am caught up on it now, fully.
Issue like 22 or something?
Yeah.
Nice.
I tried hunting down which ones I had physically, and I couldn't, so I just bought all of them digitally, because I really wanted to read it like that bad.
You don't have CLZ?
I don't. No, not...
I highly recommend it.
I never got it since getting my new phone, like over, like I think like a year ago, so...
Okay.
I'll have to like re-download it, but yeah. I read issue... I think it was like 6 through 22.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Is it?
It's still so good.
Okay. Like, so it keeps the momentum.
It's awesome because it just feels like Mark Waid just playing with a bunch of toys.
Yeah.
It seems like. And just coming up with like the most wild ideas that he can't really cram into like anything that he's maybe working on in DC.
Right.
And so it's awesome. And Mora's on it like most of the time. And when he's not, there's a artist called like Moore,
okay.
I think is the last name. So half the syllables, but 100% as good of an artist.
Is it like Trad Moore?
No, it's not Trad Moore. Ah. It's like Daniel Moore or like Heather Moore or something like that.
Heather Moore, like Trad Moore's wife?
No, Daniel Moore. I think. I don't know. I can't remember. But like those issues, like feel still so good. You know,
so there's Dan Mora and then Daniel Moore.
Yeah. Okay. 50% of the syllables, but 100% of the quality. He's of like, art.
Maybe no one will notice.
I almost didn't. I was like, wait, is this the same guy? But no. And it's like, it's so silly sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the first trade, Robin gets thrown like back in time and he has to just like survive in like the late 1800s or like 1900s or something like that.
Yeah.
And until he just, you know, gets saved, but he joins the circus again, just like as Robin.
Uh-huh.
And he has to solve a murder that's being pinned on a tiger, like a circus tiger. Like someone framed the circus tiger, and so they're going to put down the tiger. And so Robin has to put on his detective hat and solve the murder and prove that the tiger's innocent. And I'm like, what a fucking awesome Robin story. Because he's in the circus again. He's having a good time.
Well, it's like Tim Drake, isn't it?
No, it's Dick.
It's Dick in that?
It's Dick in that, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Because he joins the circus again. He's like, I remember this.
Hmm. Whatever.
And the trade after that, he gets very Mark Waid-y because he comes up with this like idea that involves all of the characters in DC that are like AI. And it's like a whole like AI storyline.
Cool.
And which is a cool idea because then like Red Tornado gets involved and like Amazo.
Is he incorporating like Kingdom Come stuff?
Yeah, and that stuff is really fucking fire, too.
Sweet.
Because he creates original, like, Kingdom Come heroes.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool. Because, like new ones? Like, new ones. Like, characters that exist in that universe that don't exist in ours. So there's, like, this big splash page where you see, like, some of the Kingdom Come people. And I'm like, okay, I know. I was doing the thing. Who the fuck is that? The who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Segment in my head to see if I knew everybody. And I was like, there's, like, four people in here I've never seen in my life.
Mm.
Like, not even a vague thing. And then it's explained like those people aren't like part of their universe.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool that Mark Waid wrote Kingdom Come and he gets to go back to it and just like expand on it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And there's a new character that got like pretty fucked up by Joker, which is a really fun storyline. It's a character called Boy Thunder instead of Boy Wonder.
Ah.
And it's just great. It's honestly that like
sounds like a boy's like name for
Boy Thunder.
Yeah.
For what?
Like, it seems like a character, like one of the super characters in like Teenage Kicks or something.
Oh, yeah.
Called Boy Thunder or something.
And like, oh, and the boys. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does. But it's great. I'm loving it. So I'm gonna keep going with it. Cool. I was gonna try and catch up on Batman as well, but I barely got caught up on World's Finest. So
yeah, it's like you always think you're gonna get so much reading done when you're traveling, but like you're tired on like these long planes and you're like moving around. You gotta watch like some movies because you're too tired to read.
Yeah,
and then you're just
I'm just done. Go. Yeah, it's crazy.
I read Where the Body Was.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah, it is very good. I don't know. I mean, you should read it. I don't know if it was like my favorite thing by them, but I do. I guess it was more like I was looking forward to like what the end would be, and the end wasn't necessarily what I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
But like then when you finish it, you're like, wow, I really got really like attached and like invested in like all these characters with like this buildup kind of thing, you know, which I feel like is kind of hard for this like basically slice of life book that he's making.
Is it a murder mystery?
Yeah, there's a body in it.
Okay,
yeah.
But it's like a slice of life.
Yeah, well, but like because there's real people, you know, people die in life.
Okay, sure.
And so
It's a slice of death.
So it's really well done, and I read it in like one sitting, and so it's like great pacing and everything.
Cool.
Why'd you grab your backpack?
Because I also read this book that you gave me, Goodbye, Airy.
Oh, wow.
On the plane. Pretty good.
So you guys say?
it's very interesting because the whole thing is told through this dude that's filming himself.
Yeah.
And so it's all just like shot through iPhone or whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's like a twist that like there's like four twists.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, here's a twist. Or like right at the beginning, it's like, oh my God, my mom died. That's crazy. Twist, it was a movie. And it was like, twist, she did actually die. And it was me filming the movie. And it's like,
spoilers, Ethan.
Yeah. It's like, that's like the first like 15 pages.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then like the twist at the end with the character Airy, I'm like, so we just guessed, right? You know? I'm going to spoil it.
Okay.
Because like, Aries, like, you should make a movie again because I really liked your first one, even though everybody hated it. And then he's like, okay, but I don't like the stuff that I've been filming. And she's like, okay, so then put like a little bit of pizzazz on it. And then the dude is like, okay, you're going to be a vampire in my movie. She's like, all right. And at the end, it's revealed that she is a vampire, like for real. And he just guessed that. And it's like true.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. There's like another twist, like even after that, that I thought made it like really made it come together, which sounds like too many twists, but really it's not. And that was really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it. I thought something like super fucked up was going to happen. And so I was kind of expecting that up until like 20 pages in where I'm like, okay, I think it's just like a lot of this.
But yeah, not really.
It's cool. Also his like art style, because it's from the perspective of someone filming a movie, like some of it's like a little bit glitchy or like out of focus, and he's able to draw that way pretty good. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah. So
this is the Chainsaw Man guy.
Yeah.
You said?
He wrote that on the hiatus.
Wow. Very different from Chainsaw Man.
Yeah.
But I respect that he has that range.
Yeah. I remember reading it. I'm like, this is awesome. I was just really excited about it. Like, I don't know. I wasn't expecting anything Chainsaw Man, and like I said, no expectations. So when I read it, I was like, what the fuck is this? This is awesome.
Like, that's something I could see as like a one of those limited animes.
Yeah.
So
like one season kind of thing. Or
yeah.
And it's even like a movie, like anime movie.
Yeah. It probably work better as a movie actually, because he's filming a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
cool. I was thinking about that while you're gone. I was like, I don't think he's ever going to read that. But you did. Wow. So this is in another country, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was in Asia. Originating.
We took very good continent. Care of it. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, it was on the plane and everything. I was like kicking it and shit. Well, not kicking the book. It was in my backpack, and I was kicking my backpack by accident. So I was like, oh shit, I hope I don't fuck it up. But
for sure. Did you watch any movies?
I did watch some movies.
Let's hear him.
We were going to watch Malignant, but she had like this weird ear infection thing, and so she couldn't wear any earbuds, and that was the only thing that I had.
Okay.
So we're still going to watch that, but later. But we did end up watching Daredevil, the movie.
Yeah.
And dude, it is fucking hard to watch. I remember it differently in my head. No, it tries to go hard, but it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Some things that I didn't pick up on the first time when I watched it before I was even reading comics, I think. Jon Favreau plays Foggy.
Oh.
Do you know that?
No.
He's a hilarious Foggy.
I remember one scene from that movie. Or two scenes from that movie.
I just remember some of the Bullseye stuff.
I remember when he's in a dark corner in a bar, and then they're like, what do you want? And he's like, justice.
He did say that.
And
yeah.
So I remember that. And then I remember when he was like able to feel the girl's like heart like slow down on the rooftop in the rain.
Yeah.
That's all I remember from the movie. Oh, no. And then there is fucking Bullseye in that.
Yeah, Bullseye's
how,
in
like,
it.
How like his hands get stabbed.
Yeah.
He's like, my hands, my beautiful hands, or whatever.
No, that's that. A good part. Some things, well, I think Jon Favreau was Foggy. He had some really funny lines and really funny delivery.
Oh, and then fucking, what's his name? It was Kingpin.
I forget his name, but he's...
Duncan.
Something? James Duncan. No. I gotta look it up now. He's great. He's like a sick Kingpin.
Yeah. He's like the scariest like the man of all time. I feel like
the characters nail it.
Has to be terrifying.
But it's the writing that like really fucks everything up and some of the cheesy like action. But like the characters themselves, I don't think are too bad. Or I don't think they're bad at acting as the characters, you know?
Sure.
Like some of the Daredevil stuff they made Ben Affleck say is like a little bit cringy. Mm-hmm. But hold on. Oh, it came out in 2003.
Sounds right.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah. So some things that happen in that movie. There's two Evanescence songs.
Hell yeah.
So Sophie was very excited about that. And they're like back to back too.
Isn't that where like...
It's like Bring Me Back to Life.
Yeah, wasn't that on the sound... That was on the soundtrack.
It was on the soundtrack. And then it was like a second... It was like a sadder Evanescence song when there's like a funeral going on. And so the first time it came on, she's like, yes. And then the second time she came on, she's like, no way. I love this movie. But we both thought it was pretty cringy. What else is it going to say? The powers are like super inconsistent, I feel like.
Like Daredevil's powers?
Daredevil's powers. Because sometimes he's able to jump really fucking far. It is very strange. Or like they try to visually represent what his powers are supposed to look like to him or feel like to him.
Yeah.
And then... Like, so he's able to, like, jump around the city and, like, kind of see everything because he can hear it or whatever. But then he tries to, like, there's a moment that's supposed to be pretty nice where they're in the rain. And he says that the rain hitting people's faces helps them hear what they look like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, shouldn't you just be able to hear what they look like already? Because you're jumping around and, like, fucking jumping through hoops and stuff, you know, so...
Well, like, he doesn't know what their faces look like, but, like, the rain hits their face, and so you can kind of...
to see better detail, I guess. You can
picture the shape, I guess.
Yeah, some of that gets, like, a little bit inconsistent, so I'm a little bit on that.
The fact that movie was made is insane.
It is insane.
Because, like...
So I'm not dogging on it for being,
was
like,
that,
bad.
Like, right after Spider-Man?
Like, Sam Raimi Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I think it's before.
Because Spider-Man was, like, 2000, I think. Because I remember they had, like... posters and they had like the Twin Towers and like the trailer. I
think. Oh yeah, 2002 is when the first Spider-Man came out.
Okay, so it's not like it was made because Spider-Man came out.
No,
but just the fact that like that character out of like all Marvel characters, and then they get Ben Affleck to play him. You know?
I know. Yeah, it seems like a recipe for success. Like a lot of the. What do you mean? Like he's good in that.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, no.
But just the writing of it, I think, is so poor.
I don't think
so,
I've ever really seen Ben Affleck in like a bad movie necessarily. But
I haven't really seen much of young Ben Affleck, and so it was weird, kind of like seeing him because I'm only used to like old Affleck. You know,
you ever older. See, I think he's in like Dazed and Confused,
maybe.
And that was like I think like one of the youngest things that he was in.
He's kind of a bad boy, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. And then one last thing, they shoehorned every single comic book character or comic book creator name into that.
How?
So you know how like Daredevil's dad was like a boxer?
Yeah.
The night that he died, he was boxing John Romita.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
There's a part where...
Was it actually John Romita?
No, that would be hilarious.
Or John Romita Jr.
Just,
was
just
in
a
there.
Nice guy, John Romita Jr. He's like, I just love these characters, you know?
He's like fucking jacked and then kills his dad.
No, then there's a scene where they're like naming gangsters and they're like, yeah, it's Bendis and Mac and Quesada or whatever. Like they just like shoehorned three creators' names. And then Kevin Smith is in this as well. And he's also but he's like an actor in it. So he gets paid way more, presumably, for being in this movie.
Yeah, just and like residuals.
Like they dropped like David Mack and Bendis. And I was like, that has to be like, that would have had to have been like the run going on at that time. I feel like
probably,
or maybe like a little bit before,
because he like
they might have dropped a Brubaker as well. I can't remember.
He started
remember.
Like getting big in like the 90s, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so, because of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny.
That is funny.
Yeah, so very interesting.
What else did you watch?
Okay, speed round. I watched one scene of Elektra before Sophie thought that her ears were hurting too much. I watched half of the movie Drive, but with Ryan Gosling.
Okay,
because the headphones that they gave us were pretty shitty.
Yeah, it's like terrible.
It well, like I've been on international flights before. It was United.
Ah, they should be a little better.
Yeah,
I mean, I was on like American.
And I was on like China Airlines, and it was like way better. Like going there and then coming back, I was on United, and I couldn't. So like, I really liked the movie, and there's not a whole lot of talking anyway. But whenever people do talk, I just like cannot understand what they're saying.
Yeah,
it sounds like walking through a walkie-talkie that you're hearing through like a phone.
Yeah,
and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
I rewatched 1917 because it's a go-to movie. Oh, and then I watched Merry Little Batman.
Oh, the new thing on Amazon?
Yeah, the Amazon one that came out.
How was that?
Pretty solid.
Huh.
I wouldn't say it's like incredible, but it's definitely like a new, like fresh kind of art style. Like all of the villains and stuff are kind of fun to look at and see how they do.
So it's a Christmas thing?
It's like a Christmas comedy thing where Batman gets tricked into like going somewhere and being stuck there, and so Damian has to like become Batman and protect like Gotham. It's kind of like a Home Alone almost, because he has to protect Wayne Manor, and then he eventually has to go and stop like the Joker.
Huh.
And it's like solid. There is like a really only like one part made me laugh like out loud, because I just like wasn't expecting it, but there's a part where he's going up against Bane and he's like super fucking big, and Damian steps on a floorboard, which then gets like seesawed up into his nuts, and then it like hits him in the nuts, and then it like cuts to like a different character, and you just see Bane's body like come from off screen and just like fucking fall off screen again. I just thought it was really funny because I wasn't expecting it.
Can you fix your mic?
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
And there's like maybe one other part that made me laugh, but pretty solid.
Cool.
And then we saw The Boy and the Heron. But what did you watch? You had 3 weeks as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, probably should have read more. But, you know,
that's how it goes.
I was reading this and I was getting through, like, Infinite Crisis. I watched 8 Crazy Nights, which is the animated Adam Sandler Hanukkah movie.
Okay.
It's a piece of shit movie. But
is it?
Okay. There's some good parts. Don't recommend it. I watched Love Actually, which is a, I guess, like a classic Christmas movie. People love it. It kind of started that like trend where they'd have like movies about like certain holidays, like the New Year's Day movie where the like Bon Jovi would be in it and there'd just be like a million like people.
No.
Well, there was like a trend for a couple of years and it was like really annoying, like where it'd just be a random holiday and then just too many people and too many storylines going on. So this movie was ridiculous. I didn't like it. I liked it, but like people, it was a Christmas movie and everyone's just falling in love like way too fast, you know, because
so it's like an anthology or like
kind of, it's like loosely connected. Some of them aren't connected at all. Mm. Some people don't even fall in love, but like there's like 16 stories going on, you know? And so it jumps around like a shit ton. And because there's so many stories going on, there's no like build up or anything, people just fall in love really quickly, you know? Okay. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. And there's just like a little bit too much going on. I watched Poor Things. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's a new Emma Stone movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like in theaters right now, isn't it?
Yeah, they had like an early showing at like a week early at the Scottsdale Mall.
Oh, okay, cool.
And that movie's weird. That's really good. But not what I expected. And pretty good.
Nice.
There's one part that kind of like threw me off a little bit, but after thinking about it, it's like fine, you know.
I like Emma Stone.
Yeah, she I feel like I wasn't even like watching Emma Stone.
Really?
Yeah, that's awesome. Like it was like that good. It was crazy.
Cool.
It had like a bunch of Oscar hype. I don't know if it's like that good, but pretty cool. I watched the Super Mario movie.
You haven't seen that?
Yeah.
Oh, it was on the cruise. I was watching a third of it.
I watched it while I was like rapping, and so it's fine. Pretty fun.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I would watch random thirds of it while I was on the cruise because they had like a little TV. Oh, I guess I watched Elementals on the cruise.
Any
at
good?
Some point. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
I like it, but I think that the theme of the world is a little inconsistent, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie, though.
I watched Uncharted.
Well, why?
You know, Sarah's parents were staying the night because they were leaving like early in the morning and we live close to the airport. And he's like, this one's pretty good. I'm like,
he watched it and recommended it to you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then nice. He fell asleep while we started watching it. And so I just kind of watched it. It was like, okay, but probably should have been better. I guess there's some parts. It wasn't that funny, but they were trying to make it funny, you know? Mm. I watched The Iron Claw.
Oh, yeah. The A24 one?
Yeah, with Zac Efron, Jeremy Allen White.
I want to see that.
Very good. Highly recommend. I think it hits a little bit different because like we're like brothers and have like another brother, you know? It's just they got a lot of brothers. Oh,
it's a Three Brothers movie. I didn't think about that.
No, it's like fucking like Five Brothers movie. Yeah, there's so many brothers.
There's three main brothers.
There's three brothers who wrestle, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's really good. I watched Little Women. You ever heard of that?
No.
It was a Greta Gerwig movie before Barbie.
Yep.
And I guess it was like a remake because it was like a 90s one.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah saw a bunch of clips and wanted to watch it. I'm like,
I've seen some clips on it.
Yeah, because I think it had like Oscar buzz when it came out. I might have won something, but I don't know. And I was just kind of watching it because she never really wants to watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually really fucking good.
Cool.
Yeah. And fucking everyone's in that movie. There was like every actor that was in it, I'm like, I know who that is. I know your name.
Like whom?
Florence Pugh.
Great.
Emma Watson.
Great. One of my favorite Emmas.
Saoirse Ronan. She's like the one from like Lady Bird and stuff like that.
Okay.
Who else is in it?
Name a woman.
Anyway. Yeah, pretty good. And then we watched The Boy and the Heron.
Yes, we did.
Into the Ghibliverse.
Into the... Dude, can you imagine? Fucking Totoro comes out of the sky.
But it was basically like a...
Dude, they could have done
that. Studio Ghibli, like, multiverse. Because, like, when he, like... They open, like, a door, and that's, like, back to his world or whatever. And I saw... And his dad start walking up. I'm like, is this fucking... For a slight second, I'm like, oh, my God, this is Howl's, dude. And I was about to lose my shit.
That would have been actually so funny if they did that. I don't think they ever will, but that would be crazy. No.
Yeah, because I think this is Hayao Miyazaki's like last movie.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, because he had like retired after he made his last movie.
Do you know what that is?
Something about wind. Like this wind or something like that.
Mm, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he came out of retirement to do this one. And they started working on this movie in like 2016.
Oh, shit.
Because they do like the old school animation where they draw everything.
I don't know if they completely did that this time because I could tell some of it looked a little bit different than normal. But
I think they had like some animators like help or whatever to speed it along or whatever.
Uh-huh.
Like he didn't like spend that much time like looking at like every frame, you know?
Sure.
But, you know, he was still doing like the storyboards and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find out. I have no idea what this movie is really about and what the theme is.
It's kind of like your second one, right?
Yeah. It looked great.
Yeah.
I love the sound design in these movies.
Dude, I know.
Like, just he's like cutting bread. I'm like, that's what bread sounds like.
Dude, yeah. You know? I love when they're just preparing food. Like, that's one of my favorite parts of just any Ghibli movie is when they're like cooking like a bao bun or some shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, bao bun's
delicious.
Or like when they're cutting vegetables. It's like, I love this shit.
Yeah. It had... Definitely a lot of Ghibli vibes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just took a minute for them to like get into it when they go into this like weird world or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that was where I was waiting for things to kind of kick off.
It did get very weird though.
Yeah. Which I expected.
The dub was pretty great, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the dubs in those movies. Cause that's like all I knew watching like, you know, Howl's.
Yeah. I would say it's definitely a different experience. I haven't watched any Ghibli movie where I watched the dub and sub.
Yeah.
But I think there are a few where I think My Neighbor Totoro is probably better subbed than dubbed. Just because the energy I think a lot of the Japanese voice actors bring is just like something way different and communicates something way different than if an American person tried to imitate something like that.
Yeah.
But I think in here it like totally works. Because Robert Pattinson's being a weird goon.
Yeah, dude. And like his voice is like not coming through at all.
No, you know? I tried to find any singular little moment where he slips and he sounds like fucking Batman or something.
Yeah, he'll do like this weird like throat sound where like no one can really tell. He's like, I'll be your guy.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like you couldn't fucking catch it at all.
Yeah, it's awesome. And lots of like trippy stuff I really like.
I feel like just knowing that he was like the heron, like gave me like a ton of momentum, like watching this because I just wanted to see more of him, like do whatever he does.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. There's parts of every Ghibli movie where it's just like really confusing, where it's like, how come there's all these old ladies here? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Or Just like
they have like two houses for some reason.
Yeah.
I was like, they have a nice Japanese house and then a normal looking house.
Mm-hmm. Like, I liked Willem Dafoe's character, who's just like a seagull.
Oh, yeah.
Or he's in it for pelican, like, I mean.
For like a minute.
Yeah, and then he dies. And it's like, holy shit, this is crazy. This one's like, there's a part in this where it's like way bloodier than I ever expected it to go.
When he
bashes his own head in with like a rock.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, he's like bleeding. Like, you got to tend to that pretty soon.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know if that would happen if I put that big of a gash in my own head.
Yeah, exactly. But it's awesome. There's a part where there's a bunch of frogs that go onto him, and I hate that part.
Oh, that's terrifying.
I was like, Jesus Christ.
There's like a bunch of fish coming out of the lake. They're like, come with us. And I was like, this is freaky, dude.
Dude, yeah. And then I was like, this dude can make a crazy horror movie if he really wanted to.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. But it's a Ghibli movie. If you like him, you'd like this. This is probably like one of my... Definitely top five, easy. I don't know about top three. Probably top three.
Do you know what the budget was for this?
I have no idea.
It's actually the most expensive Japanese movie that was ever made.
Really?
Yeah. Because of like how long production and shit takes.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And I think it was like 90 to like 100 million.
That's still not even like that much.
Yeah, no. But it's been doing really well. I think it like was like number one like the weekend it came out, which is pretty good.
Yeah, nice.
And like,
there's it was a lot like, of people that like it.
It was like fucking packed on like this like Wednesday night that we went to go see it. I know, it, you know,
because when we first got the tickets, it was like a few days before, and it's like we might even be in this alone.
Other than the front rows, it was like sold out.
Yeah, it was
you
so. Know?
I had to sit like four rows behind you guys
because we got your ticket later.
I sat yeah. by myself.
Yeah,
I was sitting next to people, but I was by myself. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you were to watch a different one, I'd probably say either Howl's Again or Princess Mononoke because there's like,
yeah, war. I looked into them and like.
You would like, I think, all of them that I've watched.
So. Yeah, there's like a lot of Ghibli movies, but I think like the really popular ones are the Miyazaki ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll probably like look into those.
Yeah.
I think I feel like it's something like my kids would watch eventually, like when they got like old enough. I know there's like blood and war and stuff like that, but.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like there is, but it's not like that crazy.
I had to listen to a podcast to like understand this. You know, like,
so what did they tell you that you didn't understand?
So the only thing that I really picked up from what they had to say, because they were kind of more talking about like how it connects to the movies and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like the great uncle or whatever that was in like this like dreamland or whatever they call it.
Yeah. Mark Hamill's character.
Yeah. And he's like, in a way he's like Hayao Miyazaki and like that world that he's in is like kind of Studio Ghibli in a way.
Cool.
And so in the blocks that he's working with that he's trying to like keep afloat is kind of like all of his projects. Mm-hmm. Kind of like put together in a way.
Okay.
And so it's like a way of him like kind of letting go of like all the work that he has, and so he can like properly retire and not necessarily like force the future of like the company to go a certain way.
Yeah.
And I think his son does like some stuff, but I don't know if he's doing super well at it. That's kind of what they like
his for real son.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm, okay.
And so that was kind of like some of the metaphor that he like put into this.
The one just before this was The Wind Rises, I guess.
The Wind Rises. Yeah. And so that one's more like an adult Ghibli movie. It's not like very like, there's not like kids in it or cute shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he kind of wanted to go out with like a kids movie because it's kind of what he's mostly known for.
All of his stuff that he's done is like very consistently rated according to like IMDb. He's always between 7.7 stars and like 8.2.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Princess Mononoke came out the year I was born. Did not know that. Holds up. It holds up.
Like, Totoro or something came out in like the '80s.
I know. I just saw that. I didn't realize.
I love the like nineties anime style, you know, like the Cowboy Bebop kind of like thing. Yeah.
Like a little bit grainy, but it's like cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it doesn't even like mean that it's like a worse quality. I just think it's like, I like that style.
Yeah.
It feels warm.
It's kind of, I feel like cartoons kind of, hold up a little bit better over the years, just because like, it's just like a cartoon, you know? And mm-hmm. I think like, if you haven't experienced it, then it can be like still feel new, you know?
Yeah.
Especially something that's like from the '80s and this and still loved like today.
Mm-hmm.
like I could have watched it like this week and would have no idea, you know.
What, like a Totoro?
Yeah, that it was like almost like 40 years old.
Yeah, like it looks pretty similar to Boy and the Heron. So
yeah,
the consistency definitely helps. Whereas I feel like in like 3D animation, you could tell when something's like a little bit older.
Yeah, because we've seen like how it's come so far.
But I feel like we've kind of maxed out on that. Like some of the like really recent and like very high detail like shit, like Toy Story 4.
It's like too much.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like we've maxed out on that. And I feel like it'll almost be like this, where in 20 years from now, like a new generation will watch like whatever 3D animation movies come out. And they're like, holy shit, it looks really good.
Which I think is cool. Like when it comes to Spider-Verse and like Mutant Mayhem, when they're like having like these alternative types of animation styles.
I hope it goes more to that.
To kind of mix it up rather than like just trying to keep moving forward.
Yeah, make it look more realistic because like, it feels more rigid.
Almost. Yeah, because there's like the, you know, Love, Death, and Robot episodes. I'm like, is this real?
Dude, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know if this is animated or not, or if this is like a video game or whatever.
Yeah.
So that, like, I don't want to get to that because it seems like too much work.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because like, you just need like these cool cartoons to represent a character and then move his mouth a little bit. You know?
You don't need that much. But like the last episode of Love, Death, and Robots, season 3, I think, the one where it's like a girl dancing in the river.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, this looks real.
Yeah.
I can't even tell. There's a lot of jingling like of jewelry on her and shit. Yeah, and it looks all real. It's
like,
crazy.
Almost like distracting.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm just looking to be like, show me something that is definitively not real because I can't see it.
Like movies should like look good, but I don't think it should be like more of a spectacle to the point where it takes away from like whatever story you're trying to tell.
Totally. Which is why I think people like a lot of Ghibli stuff because it's just like stayed this and stayed weird and people like it.
Yeah, like what pops in those movies is like designs of stuff, you know? Not necessarily like, because can you imagine like watching like a Studio Ghibli movie with like that kind of detail? Like
it'd be a horror movie.
Yeah,
it would be a horror movie.
It'd be terrifying.
Like imagine
those
fucking
frogs, dude.
The frog, I would wince so much harder than I already did. Or like even just like the heron going back into the fucking crane or heron, I guess.
Yeah, there's like there's a guy in there.
Also, what's his deal? We never really even know.
I guess he's a guide for the uncle dude.
Did Mark Hamill make him?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think what is like nice about like this movie is that everything is explained because you have to think of it almost like watch it through like a child's lens in a way.
Yeah.
I know like adults watch this and I think it was all adults that watched it in the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like kids, like they don't give a shit about like where this heron came from.
Yeah. Why is he a weird man with a big nose?
And the ending didn't feel like this big resolution because life doesn't really resolve that cleanly. You know? And so like it'll end and then like there it was story there and it did like end, but there is like more to their lives, you know, and just kind of keeps going.
Yeah. The dad was weird, right?
Yeah. He was weird
because
I like Christian Bale. I thought he did really good.
Yeah, he did.
He's just like
the dad seems nice.
Yeah.
The fact that he
cares
that this kid's Mojito.
Yeah.
It sounded like Mojito, which is why I remember it.
I did not catch that.
But like Mojito's mom died and then his dad started to riz up the dead wife's sister.
Younger sister
and impregnate her. And then she was like, I'm your mom now, so you can call me mom. Also, you have a brother coming soon. It's like, holy shit.
I was also trying to think like through the child's eyes. I'm like, all right, they're just trying to like set up what this kid's situation is right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very just blunt way of putting it.
It was
know?
Very blunt.
So,
yeah, a little bit crazy. But if you like things not being explained, I think you'd really like Totoro.
If you like a lot of ambiguity,
because there's
this is right up your alley.
There's shit that happens in Totoro, and I was like, I don't understand why anything happened the way it did, but it's like, and then nothing like kind of happens really, but it's awesome. It's like the people's favorite. So
yeah,
I really want to watch. I haven't watched Spirited Away yet, or if I did, I don't remember it. So I'll probably do that one next.
That's like number one on most people's lists.
I know, and I still haven't seen it.
Is that the one with like the ghost thing with the mask?
Yeah,
what's that thing
called? See it at Comic Con all the time. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, Daniel.
No, I don't know.
But yeah, good movie.
Cool. What are we going to read next week, Nathan?
What are we going to read next week?
Are we going to read Echo?
Do you want to?
Sure. Which one, though?
That is Vision Quest or whatever? Is that the one you're talking about?
Is that the David Mack one?
Maybe.
I think that's probably the most iconic one, but I think it's really long. Or at least it's collected really long. So we can maybe just do like the first five issues of it.
Okay, so the Saga of Maya Lopez. All right, so if you go to Daredevil:Echo Vision Quest.
Oh, okay.
That is four issues, issues 51 through 55. And so I think that is included in like that big collection that you saw.
Oh, okay.
So this is like 123 pages.
Are they trying to get Daredevil's demise because it's a Vision Quest?
You know what? It might be. Yeah, because that big one that you saw had those same issues, but also 9 through 15.
Oh, okay. So cool, yeah, this is great. Let's do this.
Yeah, okay. I hope we aren't too lost.
That'll probably be fine.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, so there's Daredevil Parts of a Whole by David Mack and Quesada, and that's like the 9 through 15.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that might be like first appearance kind of stuff for Echo, so it might make more sense. I think Vision Quest is like the second chunk of that, so it might make more sense to read this.
Okay, we can do that.
Okay, so Daredevil Parts of a Whole.
Daredevil Parts of a Whole.
And on Comixology Unlimited, baby! It's got Echo right on the front, so it might be a little bit more Daredevil, but cool, sounds good.
Also, welcome to Trade Waiters Podcast, everybody. We didn't say that.
Oh, shit.
You're out of the loop.
All right, I'll cut it in. Welcome, everybody.
No. This is definitely the end of the podcast. Don't you listen to him. He's gaslighting you.
I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we sure do.
We just put that at the beginning, no context. We read a different trade every single week. Welcome to Trade Waiters Podcast.
Are you just going to splice all of those together?
I've done it backwards before, so I'll just cut that in.
You've done it backwards? Like you said all the words backwards?
Like I cut the chunks up and then said those in reverse order.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
So we're going to read the book Chroma.
We sure are.
I'm just kidding. All right. Daredevil, Parts of a Whole.
But really Echo. And
the Echo book. That should be fun. So we can be know-it-alls and know what's happening.
Yeah.
When that shit comes out.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Thanks for watching.
If you want to tell us your favorite
What comics did you get for Christmas?
Best thing to say that first and then tell us your favorite Ghibli movie because I'm curious.
Yeah. Email us at TradeWaitersPod@gmail.com. Link tree in our bio. All right. Bye, Nathan.
Bye.